Only a half dozen or so of Americans have ever qualified as billionaires, and most of them inherited their wealth. I'll return in a moment with the amazing facts about a man who received the whole world as an inheritance. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Today we want to conclude our fascinating series of broadcasts on the Jews and the future. For 2 days we've traced Bible history of the children of Israel and God's purposes for them. As the descendants of faithful Abraham, the Jews were chosen to carry his great message of truth to the nations. Gentiles and strangers were to be joined to the true church represented by Israel and worship the true Creator God. The same law was to govern the stranger as well as the homeborn Jew. Now, many fantastic promises were made to Israel concerning the glorious future God had in store for them as the leaders of the world. The plan was for Israel to always be the head and not the tail. She was to demonstrate the values and benefits of a people who belonged to God and who allowed God's laws to control their nation and their individual lives. What a beautiful, rosy picture the prophets of the Old Testament painted as they described the ideal world of the future under the Jewish theocracy. But one thing is often overlooked by those who read those Bible descriptions of Jewish prosperity and blessing. Every one of those promises was conditional. The condition was that Israel obey God's laws and faithfully carry out the provisions of the covenant he made with them. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and others eloquently described the kind of world which would result from Jewish faithfulness. But the Israelites broke their promises, friends, not only failed to meet the conditions, but they even rejected the Messiah when he came. The great body of the Jews rejected Jesus, and they failed to obey God's law. Instead, advancing in the truth, they became the greatest opponents to the promulgation of the truth as Christ and his apostles endeavored to enlighten men and an understanding of the truth for that time. And instead of faithfully witnessing to the great salvation as revealed to them, they built up a wall of partition between themselves and the Gentiles. It became necessary for God to finally separate them as a nation from being his chosen people. Nevertheless, the Lord found a remnant among them that were faithful, and this remnant continued to be God's church. We read in Romans 11 where God likened Israel to an olive tree, and here we learn that many of the branches were broken off because of unbelief and disobedience. But the Israel tree still remains, and God says that the Gentiles were a wild olive tree, and those who would turn to him and be saved were to be grafted in as a part of Israel, the natural tree. The apostles and Jesus were Jews, and the 3,000 people who were converted on the day of Pentecost were also Jews. So God found a remnant from Israel who still continued to be his chosen people, and the Gentiles have been grafted into that tree ever since. The promises that could have been fulfilled to Israel after the flesh must now be fulfilled to Israel after the Spirit. There's absolutely no more basis for claiming any special place for the physical descendants of Abraham. Even before they claimed to have no king but Caesar, Jesus had said to them, "The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." Matthew 21:43. And that nation is referred to by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2:9 when he said God's people would be a holy nation, a peculiar people. In other words, the Christian church, made up of all nationalities, would now constitute the true Israel of God. Jesus sadly reminded the leaders of Israel, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Matthew 23:38. Paul and Barnabas said in Acts 13:46, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Now Paul further explained the rejection of fleshly Israel in these words, "For they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. They which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed." Romans 9:6-9. Now, friends, how plain that is, that some are going to be counted the seed of Abraham who are not his seed according to the flesh. Now, how can anybody believe that a physical Jew has any special claim on the blessings of the promises of God today? They can be saved as individuals only by personal faith in a Savior. But there's not one single text which indicates that they'll ever again, as a nation, turn to serve the Lord. Paul said, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:28 and 29. So there it is, friends. Today, the church is God's spiritual Israel. The task of world evangelism is no longer assigned to the Jews, it's assigned to the church. The blessings of Abraham will be realized by those who have the faith of Abraham and who become his spiritual seed. By his plain statements and parables, Jesus repeatedly warned the Jews of their approaching rejection and doom. In Matthew 23:29-32, he said this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our father, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers." So, by pursuing such a course, they were about to finish the transgression preparatory to their own judgment and rejection. In one of his parables, Jesus phrased the situation in a way that caused the chief priests and the elders of the people to pass judgment on themselves. He gave that parable in Matthew 21:33-45. He said, "There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. And last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, They will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits and their seasons. Jesus said unto them, Wherefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them." Now, friends, there it is, and this is the reason Paul said, "Lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Later, describing how the Jews had filled up their cup of iniquity, Paul addressed the Thessalonian church in these words, "But for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. For the wrath of God is come upon them to the uttermost." 1 Thessalonians 2:14-16. So in all this, being stiff-necked in heart and ears, and in all ways resisting the Holy Ghost, and in becoming the betrayers and murderers of Jesus, in stopping their ears to Stephen's voice and murdering him, they did fill up their sins and were rejected as God's people. Now, Jesus acknowledged their being the physical descendants of Abraham, but he charged them with doing the works of their father, the devil. He made it very clear that the children of Abraham are those who have the faith of Abraham and do the works of Abraham. They would be able to share in the promises made long ago to that great father, the faithful. The Bible says Abraham was heir of the world, which makes him the wealthiest man who ever lived. But the world he receives will be the earth made new. Abraham looked forward to the time when he could have a home in a city which God had gone to prepare. In Hebrews 11, 8-13, it says, By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Now, friends, notice not only did Abraham expect to enter into the city of God, but also all the faithful saints of God enjoyed this same blessed hope. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Hebrews 11, 13 and 16. Now we too are striving for a home in that city, friends. This city is called the New Jerusalem. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21, 1 and 2. And there are 12 gates into this city, and over those gates are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And they had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Revelation 21, 12. Now, to enter through those gates, we must keep God's commandments, friends, because in Revelation 22:14 it says, Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Thus we see that God is making up a spiritual Israel that will inhabit the new earth, and the new Jerusalem will be the capital. Jesus was a Jew, and by being born again through Christ, we become a part of Abraham's seed. We're thereby grafted in as a part of the Israel tree. We're required to keep the same law and the same holy Sabbath as were the Jews of the Old Testament. God has the same plan of salvation in the Old and New Testament. And when we enter into the New Jerusalem, we shall pass in as a part of Israel, because over each of the 12 gates is written the name of the tribes of Israel. Now, what a privilege it will be to have a place in the home God is preparing. There God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21:4. Jesus has made provision for us to keep God's law, and thus prepare us for a place in that home if we'll let him. And Paul wrote, What the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.